Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is May 23rd, Pentecost Sunday. Today's gospel reading is from John chapters 15 and 16. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin because they do not believe in me, about righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer, and about judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in addition to this weekend being Pentecost, as I mentioned, it's also graduation weekend here in Green. And so, as we honor our congregation's 2021 graduates, I want to teach you a new vocabulary word, a word I've never used in a sermon before. And I told the graduates this morning, for those who are graduating, this might be the last new word you learn before graduation. So here it is. Today's church word of the day is paraclete, from the Greek parakletos. Any idea what paraclete means? It's the word Jesus uses in our gospel reading today for the Holy Spirit. In our version, it's translated as advocate, meaning someone who is on your side. A paraclete is almost like a lawyer, but it's much more than that. It's a helper, a teacher, a guide. The setting for this lesson from John is the same as we've had for the last few weeks, so if you want, you can go back and watch the last couple weeks' worth of messages. There are advantages to this online format. But it comes right after the Last Supper, right after Jesus and his disciples have finished eating the meal, but before they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is about to be arrested. This is the night before what we call Good Friday, less than 24 hours before Jesus is going to die. And with the little time he has left, because remember, in John's telling, Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen, even if his disciples don't. With the little time he has left, Jesus is preparing his disciples to carry on his mission. He's preparing them to set out on their own, to continue his work without him. But he promises them here they will not actually be alone. Physically, of course, Jesus won't be with them anymore. They won't be able to just chat with him or eat dinner with him in the same way they have been. But God is not going to leave the disciples alone. Instead, God's presence is going to be with them in a whole new way. Jesus will send them an advocate, a paraclete. Some translations say a comforter. Literally, paraclete means one who walks alongside you, accompanies you, goes with you. God's Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the person of the Trinity we call the Holy Spirit, will be with them to guide them into the truth, to keep them connected to God, connected to their Creator. So over the next few days, as the disciples witness Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, as they feel like their world is falling apart, this is the promise they cling to. Then, of course, on Easter Sunday, Jesus rises from the dead, and he's with the disciples for a few weeks, but then he ascends into heaven, and again, the disciples are left alone. But before he leaves, one of the last things Jesus says to his disciples is in Luke 24, verse 49. He tells them, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So they wait. And I don't think they have any idea really what they're waiting for, but they know God is not done with them. Maybe you felt like that. Maybe you felt like you're not sure what you're waiting for. It's not a great feeling wondering what might be next, wondering if you're doing the right thing, if you're on the right path. In the first chapter of Acts, the apostles do what they were told to do. They gather in Jerusalem and they wait. In a very real sense, they've graduated from their time as disciples, as learners and followers of Jesus, but they don't know exactly what the next step is. They take care of some administrative details, finding a replacement apostle for Judas who had betrayed Jesus, and they wait. By the day of Pentecost, the harvest festival 50 days after Passover, 7 weeks since Jesus' death and resurrection, by Pentecost, they are all together in one place. Here's the story from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here ends the reading. So on Pentecost, the apostles, the disciples, find out what they've been waiting for. They find out that Jesus' promise was not empty words. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, comes upon them. And it's dramatic. There's sounds of rushing wind. It draws a crowd. It looks like bits of fire resting on them. They start speaking in these different languages. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he'd given them the mission of continuing his work, spreading God's kingdom, proclaiming the good news of God's love around the whole world. He told them, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Of course, he also said, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." But even so, that mission must have seemed overwhelming, impossible even. No one would look at this group of people and think they're going to change the world. In this group, there's the 11 apostles who'd been with Jesus, but they'd proven again and again how little they understood of who he was, what he was teaching. When things got tough and their leader was arrested, they had abandoned him. They'd hidden to save themselves. And then in the group, they're not the only ones in this new church. There's also the women, who by and large had proven more faithful than the men. And there's the rest of the people, the 120 or so there in Jerusalem. And there's a few more scattered around. But even so, this group is not very big, and they don't inspire much confidence. There's no way they can carry on Jesus' work and build God's kingdom all over the world on their own. But the message of Pentecost is that they are not on their own. We are not on our own. God has not left them by themselves. Instead, God has come to them in a new way, come to us in a new way. At Pentecost, the apostles start doing exactly what Jesus had called them to do, witnessing to what they'd seen, telling the people around them the good news that God had come into the world. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, had given his life for their sake as the ultimate expression of how much God loves the world. If you keep reading Peter's sermon, that's where he goes. He tells the story of God's love shown in Jesus Christ. And as they start doing what God told them to do, as they allow God's Holy Spirit to work through them and empower them and use them in God's mission, miracles start happening. Reach the whole world? God's brought people from all over right to their backyard. Language barriers? God can handle it. Hecklers wondering if everything going on is just the result of, you know, a little too much wine? No, God's talked about this. This is a prophecy coming true. The Holy Spirit is at work. God is on the move. God is doing something new and doing it through these ordinary people, people like you and me, revealing what's next one step at a time, calling them and us to trust that God has it figured out. And it's not just the insiders, the people who'd been walking around with Jesus when he was here in the flesh. At Pentecost, God is bringing in the outsiders, bringing together these disparate people, people with different dreams, different experiences, different gifts and talents, even different languages, and joining them into the church, joining them into Christ's body. God's Spirit is poured out on all flesh, all ages, all genders, wealthy and poor, slave and free, even on people like you and me. Jesus had used the word paraclete to describe what the Holy Spirit was going to do. But the actual word used in Acts to identify the Holy Spirit is pneuma, which means wind, breath, air. Think of a pneumatic device, something that runs on air pressure, a pneumatic drill, perhaps. That's the word pneumatic. That's the word that's used for the Holy Spirit, pneuma. The Holy Spirit is blowing through the church, blowing through the world, stirring things up. As the prophet Ezekiel had prophesied long ago, God's breath is breathing life into dry bones, bringing hope into hopeless situations, animating the church, giving life and meaning and purpose. The Holy Spirit is connecting you to your Creator, to your Heavenly Father, the Good Shepherd who promised to leave the 99 sheep to look for you when you're the one who wanders away. The message of Pentecost is that wherever you go, wherever you might wander, God is with you. As the disciples discover, the path is not always easy, but the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is accompanying you on your journey, guiding, calling, drawing you back to the right path, back to your Creator, stirring up faith, reminding you of Jesus, reminding you always of the grace God has shown to you. So as you go forth today, wherever you're going, whether it's home or going out somewhere, going on to a new stage of life, to school or to work or to rest, know that God is with you. Trust that God is accompanying you on your way. Amen.